Welcome, welcome, welcome. Thank you for joining us here for yet another episode of Random Ship the Podcast, your weekly dose of all things random. As always, I'm Holt, your captain on this voyage, and with me is my first officer and my brother, Alan.
Welcome.
Now that we've got a whole one episode under our belt, I'm sure you know the drill by now, you will be spending the next 20 minutes with us on a voyage into the world of random, strange, and obscure. And if you make it to the end, you'll be rewarded with your weekly ship fact. So, Alan, it is almost the end of November. It is Thanksgiving week to our friends in the good old US of A. We had ours at the appropriate time in October, like normal people, but whatever. I do not understand the U.S. Thanksgiving thing, Alan. I don't just strictly because it's essentially just like they extended Christmas. It's like America was like, we don't want to do any exercise or wear anything but sweatpants for an entire month. We've done 10.5 months. We'll see you in the new year. That's enough.
The rest of the year, just write it off. We don't need to work anymore. Eat, sleep, repeat.
Another part about November, Alan, that is such a good cause, so I feel bad for complaining about it, but it's Movember. For those of you who don't know, Movember is why you see all these guys walking around with terribly groomed facial hair. A bunch of people walking around that definitely shouldn't have facial hair. And it's all apparently in support of men's health, which is a great cause, something that needs to be spoken to. But how many of these people, Alan, do you think are actually participating? And how many of them are just like, oh, great, now I don't have to shave this month and no one can say anything?
Well, I know of at least one person like that. And it's me.
I'll admit, I also haven't shaved yet this month, but that is just strictly because I am lazy. It has nothing to do with supporting men's health.
But at least I don't pretend to be part of the Movember.
No, and you and I have so much testosterone coursing through our veins that our beards are nice, thick lumberjack beards right now.
Oh, it's not, yes, though, of course.
We don't have porn star stashes on our faces right now.
No. Although the one time a couple years ago when you did do Movember, it was kind of porn starry.
No, it was more like you don't want to see me near a playground. That's
true.
That's what it looked like. It was, and I haven't done it since.
Been near a playground?
But well, I'm not allowed anymore.
Because of the mustache.
You know what I was contemplating this week, Alan?
What's that?
I was doing the laundry. Because I'm a very good husband and I do the laundry every week. And no, I realized...
So do I, but it's because I'm alone.
It's because you would just have dirty clothes if you did not.
That's true. You can only wear the same pair of underwear so many times.
But as I was doing the laundry, I realized, why are there all these different dryer settings? And I'm not talking about like permanent press and whites and linens and all. I understand those ones. But there are actual different settings for how dry you want your clothes. Like, my dryer has very dry, dry, medium, and light. Who wants it lightly dried?
Who's like, I would like my clothes to come out a little damp, please.
They will dry on my skin. That's someone who's very full of themselves. They're like, I'm so hot, I don't even need to waste the energy.
The trick is, when it's really hot out, you just do it on light dry or whatever, and then it's still a little wet, so when you go out, you're like,
sweating into it, and then it gets more wet.
No, because the water evaporates.
It's not made of bathing suit material. I mean, your wardrobe is, but...
It's because I'm classy.
But I don't understand that. Like, who's like, oh, that was a bit damp. Maybe medium. No, just do very dry. Do the
always very dry. It's always very dry.
Do the maximum amount of dryness. I've never been in a setting or a situation where I'm like, oh, I wish it wasn't as dry here. No. Why do more people live in the desert? Because it's dry. People like it being dry. I guess people also live in the rainforest. So that point is moot. I bet you more people live in the desert than the rainforest, though. That's your internet homework, all you listeners out there. Where do more people live? The rainforest or the desert? Let us know by dropping us an email at randomshipthepodcast@gmail.com. And remember to follow us on Instagram at instagram.com/randomshipthepodcast. And my final observation for the week, Alan,
You've observed a lot.
I have. My eyes have been wide open this week. You are not pulling the wool over these babies, I tell you what. I think, and I don't think it's going to be an unpopular opinion, but Spanish is the sexiest language in the world.
What about French, though?
French is the language of love, and you know who probably said that? The French. It's just like they gave themselves credit for French kissing. I doubt they were the ones who were like, yeah, let's shove our tongues in each other's mouths. No. Get out of here, France. It's like, ooh, now that we've surrendered in yet another war, we have some time on our hands. Let's practice licking the inside of each other's mouths.
Well, when you put it like that, it doesn't sound fun at all.
It's a country full of guys with Movember mustaches.
So what's so... I mean, I don't know if I can argue necessarily about Spanish being the sexiest language, but...
Everything sounds sexier that? In Spanish. Listen, murder. The term murder in Spanish is...
I was going to say murder's an English word.
Yeah, is muerte. Sexy, right? Like if I was like, Alan, I'm muerte'd that guy, you'd be like, oh, I don't know what that means, but probably sexy. If I said, Alan, I murdered that guy, you would say, why did you tell me that? Now we both have to run.
Now I'm an accessory.
You wouldn't turn me in because you're a good brother, but you...
Naturally. Okay, but like, wait, try saying something Spanish without the, like, wispiness to your voice.
You can't. That's part of Spanish. I'm just saying, it's by far the sexiest language. It's so wispy. It's so sexy. But I do have a complaint about it, though. I learned this week that the color brown...
That's a bad start.
Mm-hmm. In Spanish is café. That means, okay, so follow my train of thought.
Sure.
They obviously named the color brown a long, long time ago, right? Like when this language was first starting.
Sure. I mean, when it comes to naming things in languages, your first words you come up with are like, yes, no, brown. I'm with you.
Yes. There's a lot of brown things. And then they discovered coffee, which means they looked at coffee, also called cafe, and said, oh, that's brown. Let's call it brown.
Okay, hold on. Let me stop you for a second. In English, there's a fruit of a certain orange-colored variety. What do we call that? It's kind of citrusy?
I'm not saying English is better. I just said English is equally as stupid. I just didn't think about that example. But to be fair, what's orange in Spanish? So orange in Spanish is naranja, and you use that for both the fruit and the color. So no one knew what to call the orange. Even in French, orange is l'orange. No one knows what to do with the orange. They're like, we'll squeeze it really hard and take the juice out, and that's really all we can do with it.
That's not true. People eat oranges. People use orange rind on stuff.
I don't know, though. I guess mandarins are mandarin oranges. Because I was going to say, if you had mandarins, clementines, and friggin' big oranges, no one's picking the big orange. But I guess it's because when stuff gets smaller, it's also sweeter.
Is that true?
And people naturally like the sweeter things. Well, that's why, like, you know, that in the 80s, before you were born, they did that Pepsi Challenge thing where 60% of people or 80% of people preferred Pepsi. But the reason that won and beat Coke wasn't any gimmicks. It was just they were only given one sip. And the human palate, after one sip, prefers sweet things. But if you were to give them a 2-liter bottle, they would not like 2 liters of the sweet things.
Oh, I did not. But interestingly, that leads us directly into our next segment.
Oh, snap. You didn't know?
What this segment is yet again, we have done the research for you, and we have brought to you some of the world's oddest tidbits. Alan, number one, did you know that the Queen of England owns all of the swans in the United Kingdom?
I did not. That's... How many swans? That sounds like a lot of swans, and I don't know what you do with them all.
Actually, Alan, I'm glad you asked. I did the research today, and there are 75,000 swans in the United Kingdom. But, while that does sound like a lot of swans...
So many swans.
It does, right? Like, how could she possibly take care of all of them? The queen actually only holds dominion over the ones that swim in the Thames. All the other ones she technically could own if she wanted to, but she chooses not to, because, you know, that's ridiculous. So it's actually only like 120-some that are in and around her house. She's lazy when it comes to the swans.
So she could own all the swans in England.
She could.
But she's lazy.
Yeah, well, she's older now. She's been ruling for like 70 years.
That's so long.
Right? Like, when did she become the queen?
1953.
Nope.
Coronation, 1953.
Yes, but her reign started in 1952.
1952, I guess.
And she's 94 years old. I mean, thank goodness they have taken most of the power away from the queen now, and it's ceremonial, because at 94, I would not be making decisions that are in the best interest of my empire.
At 94, I doubt you'd be able to make decisions for yourself.
Oh, I will not look as good as she does.
Let alone 120 swans.
Number two. Everyone's been really concerned about their health in recent months, Alan. You may have heard of the global pandemic that we have going on. But did you know that in ancient times, the common wisdom of the day was to use a spider web as a bandage on wounds?
Interesting. That sounds... Like, I guess I could see the thought, because it's, like, sticky.
As long as they took the spider out, if they, like...
Yes. Definitely take the spider out. But there's also, like, a billion holes in a spider's web.
Yeah, and there's no holes in Band-Aids. Maybe that was the guy who made Band-Aids. They were like, Eureka!
You know what would stop the bleeding? Is if there weren't a bunch of holes in this. But it's still got to somehow be sticky.
Yeah, like, or did they grab one and then, like, wrap it around? Ugh. Either way, it is not a pleasant visual.
It's definitely a little unsettling.
Our last one for the day, and this one is for all you science geeks out there. Do you know that biologically speaking, Alan, children of twins are actually siblings and not cousins? So we actually have cousins in our family. So that means that Julie and Natalie's kids, Natalie just had a baby girl, her daughter will technically, genetically speaking, be a half-sister of Julie's future kid.
That's kind of weird to think about.
Yeah. Science is weird.
But, like, at the same time, twins are genetic, like, identical twins are genetically the same person, so...
Yeah, so I guess this would have to be specifically about identical twins. It wouldn't be the other kind of twins that no one talks about. Boring twins.
That's what they're called.
That's the scientific term.
Yep, that's... Yep.
Bill Nye never lies.
That's what they call him, Bill Nye the Never Lie Guy.
I hope he hears this and he just adds us on Instagram. Tune in next week to find out.
And that'll bring us to Music Minute, where we dive into the recesses of Spotify, iTunes, and YouTube to bring the most random songs to you.
What did you find for us this week, Alan?
Well, on the theme of it being American Thanksgiving and all, I found the maybe one and only, at least definitely the only one from 2020, Thanksgiving song, Gobble Gobble.
That immediately sounds terrible.
It's better than I thought it would be.
I listened to it a couple times, and my first thought is the whole... song is about how we don't have a Thanksgiving song. We have Christmas songs, but no Thanksgiving songs.
Yep.
This song is evidence why we shouldn't have Thanksgiving songs. Like, for some reason, there's someone in a President Trump mask there, like in the music video. Then they're all dressed like turkeys in one second, and then he's rapping dressed as a turkey, and then it ends up being a weird food fight where the grandpa starts farting and he's dressed like Buddy the Elf, and then there's one pilgrim there, and it seems to be very confusing.
Maybe it's just because it's American Thanksgiving and they do things differently. Like,
is that what happens in American Thanksgiving? Their families ends in a food fight every single time.
I have to assume that's basically what happens on the TV shows and in the music video. And I don't really have any other firm reference.
It's because they have that 4-day Thanksgiving weekend thing. So they're just like, oh, 4 days of family. We hate this.
That's too much time off for something that's not a holiday, really.
That's true. We have Thanksgiving. Most people celebrate it on the Sundays, and not even every workplace gives you the Monday off.
Yeah.
Like, it's not a guaranteed holiday.
But in the States? Well, the thing is, in the States, But in the States, it hits all their main pillars that makes it, you know, almost as American as 4th of July. Lots of food, football, yelling at people.
That's my favorite part about that, though, of the football, is there's not even good football teams that play. Like, my Buffalo Bills never get a play on Thanksgiving. Come on, guys, you need Josh Allen on Thanksgiving. Friggin' Matt Stafford, get out of here.
Yes.
And that's the extent of your football knowledge, Alan.
Yes.
And now it's time for In the News. This is a segment where we search the internet for the most random of the already random news of the day. Belgian racing pigeon flies past record in auction. Thoughts?
I didn't even know people raced pigeons. That doesn't seem like something that's fun.
It seems like a weird animal to race. In all honesty, after reading this article, it makes me a little bit, not embarrassed, but I'm questioning.
I'm embarrassed.
Our Belgian heritage. like I'm proud to be a quarter Belgian, you know? We got the beer, we got the waffles, we got the chocolates. That's fantastic. It's and then when this article says, Belgium is like the world's hotspot for long distance pigeon racing. I was like, you literally have Clydesdales. Those are Belgian. Why couldn't they be the animal that we're using for racing? Especially if it's endurance. That's what they do. See how much the Clydesdale can pull. We don't need more races. Like, horses already do that well. We read an article a couple weeks ago. Camels apparently do that. The pigeons just poop on things and scare people.
Yeah, but have you considered the fact that pigeons are way harder to watch because they're so little? I got nothing. That just makes it sound way worse.
Yeah, like, do you put a tracker on them and then you're watching, like, bleeps on your app? It's like,
throw some, like, GoPros on the pigeons?
Bleep.
That would be cool.
I guess, but then what's the difference between that and just any other bird? Except that they, like, move their neck more and they're more annoying.
I don't know.
$1.89 million for a pigeon.
Yep, but the biggest surprise for all of our what are they called?
Pigeon heads?
Pigeon fanciers. Is that this was a female pigeon.
Yeah, because for anyone who's as knowledgeable about pigeon racing as us would tell you, male pigeons are the ones that go for big bucks because they can have more babies. Because they can spread their love across more pigeons, whereas a female pigeon can only have one love given at a time.
When it comes to...
See, we're keeping our non-explicit rating on iTunes.
When it comes to the pigeon racing world, the female pigeons always fly right into the glass ceiling.
And there's your first dad joke of the day.
Come on, that one was good.
So we're just about wrapped up here with this week's voyage on Random Ship. But before we dock for the day, Alan, hit us with the weekly ship fact.
This week's ship fact is... the largest ship in history is the Seaside Giant, a near 460-foot long oil tanker.
That doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, when I looked it up, I was like, oh, of course it's an oil tanker. But, I mean, apparently, and hold on.
We need a lot of fossil fuels.
It's true. Apparently, and hold on, because I'm going to get into some deep ship terminology.
Okay. I love deep ship.
It has a gross tonnage of 260,851 and a deadweight tonnage of 564,650. Come back in later weeks to find out what those mean.
Yeah, that sounds heavy.
It's the biggest ship in the world. Well, they're not actually made anymore because I guess they decided big oil tankers, if there's something goes wrong, it's a huge problem for the environment. I don't know. I guess somewhere along the lines we learned that.
Well, on that heavy note, thank you for joining us on yet another voyage on Random Ship, the podcast. Be sure to check us out on Instagram at randomshipthepodcast or drop us an email at randomshipthepodcast@gmail.com.
Have a great week, everyone.